us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth tonight. We pray as those who listen in, Lord, that they would be encouraged and that they would be enlightened in your holy scriptures. And Lord, we pray for those who don't know you. We pray for the lost, that they will hear the gospel of salvation, of their salvation, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. And we pray if anyone that's listening tonight, my brother, on this message tonight, and who's listening in on the phone ministry, and they haven't accepted that free gift of eternal life by believing in the finished work at Calvary's cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray that they would put their faith, put their trust, and that he died for their sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And we pray as we come away from this study tonight that we will be encouraged as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and we will be encouraged to persevere in times of these, in these troubled times and in this evil world. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to talk about, we're still talking about the mindset of perseverance and the mindset of Jesus. We're going to get into the depths of what we've been talking about. We're looking at Philippians 1:27, but before we go there, we're going to talk about some self-control, my brothers and sisters. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now that we have investigated the nature, we've been talking about perseverance over the past few weeks, we are in a position to discuss the mindset of perseverance that believers should adopt. Now, in our discussion, we will focus on the three aspects of our mindset that Paul emphasized in his epistle to the Philippians. We will get into those, humility, optimism, and joy. But first, we must address the key issue in persevering, and that is, in the body of Christ, self-control. My brothers and sisters, it takes self-control to stay faithful in our marriages, keep our cool in frustrating situations, not drinking too much, not losing our temper, not arguing even when we think we are right, and not becoming too focused on money. Our old nature is always ready for a party. Let me say that. Our old nature is always ready for a party. The old nature said, let's party like the world. And many Christians, without any hesitation, says, okay. When we do not have a problem with allowing the old nature to control us, there is a problem. Many continue to walk in the flesh, fulfilling the desires and passions of the flesh. We will not be able to persevere if we don't take a stand and walk in God's word rightly divided. In Romans 7:15-20, we see Paul's ongoing struggle with sin. I mean, many can attest that they wrestle with sin. One form or another, it's a constant battle. This was his experience even as a mature believer in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, we face outside enemies in the world and the devil that war against us. It involves us in a relentless, my brothers and sisters, battle between our old man and our new man. My brothers and sisters, we face this enemy, but there's even a more constant opponent that is inside of every believer, and that is our sin nature. It involves us, like I say, in a relentless battle between our new man and the believer, our sin nature, my brothers and sisters. It involves, like I say, a relentless, catch this, battle between our new man in Christ and our old sinful flesh. These two rivals are diametrically opposed to each other. They are hostile against one another. They produce an internal strife on the battlefield within the soul of every believer. You need to go back and read Romans 7. My brothers and sisters, there is never an agreed truce between these two, the flesh and the spirit. There is never a white flag waved in this skirmish with this battle that goes on every day. There is never a ceasefire. The battle is ever going. That's why Apostle Paul said in Galatians 5, 16 through 17, he said, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And look at this. He said, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you will. If we don't do what the word of God says, we will become weak spiritually. And we will bring shame to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name. And soon, if you continue to walk in the flesh, my brothers and sisters, we will become functionally dead. My brothers and sisters, may I love and submit how important it is that we as Christians who say we are ambassadors for Christ stand firm and represent Christ in an honorable way. We can't say we represent him and at the same time are holding hands with the world. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Our society, this evil world that we live in, it tends to blame adverse behavior on our environment, on our circumstances and events around us, but we seldom, if ever, take personal responsibility for our own choices. That's one of the biggest struggles for folks to be able to say, you know what, my fault, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. One of the most haunting passages of scripture in Paul's epistle, and one that probably caused him to weep over as he wrote, was found in that 2 Timothy 4:10, talking about Demas. Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul, and at a point in time, he forsook Paul. Desertion is a strong word. Demas turned his back. He abandoned his ministry and responsibility and friends. My question tonight, have you abandoned your ministry? Have you abandoned your responsibilities for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Notice how Paul handles the situation. Paul does not tell us what aspect of the present world system Demas love. He does not say if it was fame, fortune, or the gratification of the flesh. I believe the reason that Apostle Paul does not tell us any details as to what Demas did loving this present world was twofold. First, he did not want to embarrass his fellow laborer any further, saying that he forsook Paul was bad enough. We shouldn't try and embarrass those who have fallen along the wayside and is not bringing glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We should not embarrass them. But we should be encouraging when they fall, because we all fall sometimes, and we should be edified, my brothers and sisters. Second, Demas' life could be instructive to other believers and also serve as a warning to potential wayward believers. When a Bible teacher expounds on the life of Demas, broad applications could be made to his love for this present world system. How many have fallen in love with this present world? And we should not limit it to a single example or sin. Now, we should all remember 1 John 2:15 through 17. I hope we catch this tonight, because you know what? I always tell folks, Paul told the Galatians, have I become your enemy because I tell you what, the truth, my brothers and sisters, we can always submit things in a loving way. 1 John 2:15 through 17 said, it says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abide forever. This world system has only three allurements to draw the believer away from his or her love for the Lord. First, there is lust of the flesh. Second, lust of the eyes. And finally, the pride of life. The first, the lust of the flesh, has to do with the gratification of the flesh, what makes me feel good physically. Included within this would be sexual sins, gluttony, drug use, and drunkenness. Included within this also would be sexual sins. The second category is the lust of the eye, what possessions I want to make me happy. Most folks are chasing that American dream. They still chasing it, and they have deserted God's work, trying to chase the American dream. They want the material things. They want all the big money in life, and they have deserted or abandoned the work of the Lord. These sins would be what we see and desire to have, but the object we want is not ours to have because it belongs to someone else. We look across the street, we want what the Joneses have. This is known as covetousness. And the final category is the pride of life, what I want to be. This is the arrogance that the one has when they boast about themselves, their accomplishments or their possessions. Whatever Demas' love for the world was, it fell into at least one of these three categories. Demas deserted. Apostle Paul had warned early in this chapter about saints in the body of Christ turning away from the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Look at what Paul said. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He loved this present world. If you love this world, you love the wrong home, because this is not your home. God made you for something bigger. He saved you, my brothers and sisters, for something that lasts forever. If you love this world, your love is misplaced, and you will find yourself abandoning the right choices in life. If you love this world, you won't suffer for the cause of Christ, and you won't go to the world with the gospel of the grace of God. Rather, you will follow comfort or convenience or power or fame or pleasure rather than Christ. Demas is instructive. We can learn a lot. He exemplified the danger of misplaced affection. And that is my warning to saints in the body of Christ. Where is your love tonight? His description calls out to us a plea to persevere and stay true. If any associate of Paul can desert, we are certainly capable as well. Because Paul was a mighty apostle. That should sober us when we look at Demas. Maybe your own affections is wavering between the two worlds. You see the lights and the glamour, and you're tempted to live for here and now and for self. But may I remind you, my brothers and sisters, that God has something far better in mind. May I encourage you to stay at the task of the ministry, though it can be hard and sometimes lonely. No power, no respect for those who claim to be ambassadors for Christ and live like the world. I know that there is no power and no respect. Why do I know? Because I lived a life of tainting my testimony as an ambassador for Christ, and I was bringing shame to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I say I represented Christ, but I lived like the world for many years. If you don't feel the intensity of this internal battle that I've been talking about, I would tell you to make sure you are in Christ by believing the gospel, the grace of God. And then if you're not feeling this battle between the flesh and the spirit, guess what? I would tell you, you need to check yourself to see if you're living godly in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible told us if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer some persecution. You're going to go through some tough times. Satan is going to be on you day in and day out. Oh, he's going to throw some things at you. He's going to throw the kitchen sink at you if you're living godly in Christ Jesus. I guarantee you that if you're in Christ and you're doing things Christ's way and you're thinking like Christ and you're laboring with Christ at what he's doing, you're going to have this internal battle going on. If you're not having it, I got to say flat out, you're walking in the flesh. That's it. Because sure enough, if you're walking in that spirit, I guarantee you, Satan coming after you. If you're living godly in Christ Jesus, I guarantee you, Satan coming after you. He don't need to come after you when he know you're already walking in the flesh. That's your day in and day out routine. My brothers and sisters, when you're thinking like Christ and you're laboring with Christ and what he's doing, that's godliness. You're going to have this internal battle going on. Once we have been justified by faith, an internal battle ensues within us. There is a new desire within every believer, that desire to do right. We now love God. We love the fact that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, we have been placed in the church, the body of Christ, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We love the truth now with this new man and the will of God. But there are other desires in us that love ourselves and the world. The result is an internal tug of war. And in the context of Paul's statement of demons abandoning him, Paul declares his impending death. Something I want you to look at. Because guess what? The war, I believe there was a battle. I believe a battle was probably going on in Demas, and look who won out. Paul contrasts his and others who loved the appearing of the Lord Jesus, and we eventually see the crown of righteousness, with Demas, who was living for this present world and not looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Demas would be at the judgment seat of Christ, but when his works are manifest, they will be like wood, hay, and straw. Stubble, and would be burned up and suffer loss. Yet Paul says he would be saved, yet through the fire. Believers in the Lord Jesus, we should not emulate the life of Demas. We should not desert our position. My brothers and sisters, we should not desert what we have in Christ. We should not desert who we are in Christ. We should not desert who we are ambassadors for. Yet there are at least three things we can learn from the life of this wayward believer. I'm talking about demons. First, we should have an eternal perspective on life and not love this present world system. That is out to trip us up. That's all the world system is out to do, my brothers and sisters. We can't do the work of the ministry if the world system got us. So that's Satan's goal. What? It's to trip us up and to draw us away from our Lord, our love for the Lord and his word. This world system is passing away. So this should encourage us to live for eternal rewards. And the second thing we can learn from Demas is that no Christian is immune from loving this present world and leaving the Lord's work and the Lord's people. Paul wrote and admonished the Corinthian believers. He said, therefore, let him whose think he stands take least heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. The allurement of this world falls, like I said, into the three categories. My brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus was tested the same way. Yet he passed the test with flying colors because he was filled with the Spirit and used the word of God when Satan attacked. Paul went on to tell the Corinthians believers, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But look what he says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Sometimes when you get caught up, you don't want to escape. But God has provided escape. He got escape. You know how sometimes you see escape hatch? Folks that have escape hatch to get out in case of danger or a danger situation. Some folks look at the escape hatch and they still go on and say, you know what? I love this world. And I love this stuff that the world got to offer. God has provided me escape hatch to get out of here. But guess what? My brothers and sisters, we should be looking for the escape hatch when temptation comes. Believers should also realize that the grace of God teaches to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteousness and godly in this present world. That's Titus 2:12. And the third lesson we can learn from the life of demons is that the hope of the Lord's return should change the way we live now. If demons continue his love for the world, he would eventually be ashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he would stand at the judgment seat of Christ and his works would be made manifest. At this point, he would have his new sin-free body and would say to himself, why did I waste my life? And is that going to be the testimony, my brothers and sisters, for many in the body of Christ? I was saved, but I had a wasted life. I didn't do nothing for the Lord. I didn't do nothing for the work of the ministry. I was living for time, but not eternity. Living for this world and not my heavenly home. On the other hand, if demons had lived in light of the return of Christ, this would have provided a purifying hope for him, because he knew that one day he would receive a glorified body just like Jesus and live with our Lord and Savior for eternity. He would begin to live now in light of eternity and for rewards in heaven. My brothers and sisters, only one life, so soon shall pass. Only what done for Christ shall last. Did you hear that? Only one life, so soon shall pass. Only what's done for Christ shall last. What's done for Christ, rightly divided, shall last. My brothers and sisters, we are to live in light of the judgment seat of Christ. And let this sobering truth change the way we live today. My brothers and sisters, why we must persevere in the faith? Because we have to have the mind of Christ. If we're going to persevere, we must not only have that self-control, we must mature to being saints with self-control. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Paul talked about the perilous times. I want you to go and read that. 2 Timothy 1-5. You go and read that. Paul says in Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And what did Demas leave? He left Paul for the love of this present what? World. The new man that Paul had become, certain desire to do good. He desired to study the Bible. He desired to assemble with his brothers and sisters in Christ. He desired to obey the word of God. But it's one thing to want it and another thing to do it. Let me say that tonight. It's one thing to want it and another thing to do it. Even our new man is incapable of doing good without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. and him enabling and helping us. It is not enough that we have a new nature because we still have an old nature. We must have the power of God to be at work within us to will and to work for his good pleasure. We cannot live the Christian life in our own self-reliance and self-sufficiency. And that's the problem that we have in the body of Christ with many saints. They are trying to live the Christian life on their own and continue to fail miserably. The world has snatched them in, and now they are advocating for things of the world. Every moment of every day, we still need the grace of God to be dynamically operative in our lives. We need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the power of God can help us to overcome this contrary power of sin that is pushing us away from the obedience to the Word of God. We cannot persevere in the faith if we don't transform and practice self-control. Sometimes I hear teaching that states we need to get out of Romans 7 and permanently leave it behind by moving into Romans 8. This is not the reality of the Christian life. If Paul could not get past the battle with his sinful flesh found in Romans 7, neither will we. For the rest of our Christian life, we will be in the second half of Romans 7 as well in Romans 6 and 8. This is an ongoing reality in the life of the Christian life. Of the Christian. That's why Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because that old nature will always be there to have a party. The old nature wants to party. I always tell folks, if you want to see some folks party, you get some church folks together. They can show you how to party. But it shouldn't be that way. You should have some self-control. That's what Paul is telling us. It shouldn't be that you look at Christians in the body of Christ and you look at the world and you say, which one are the Christians? It shouldn't be that way. My brothers and sisters, this is an ongoing reality in the life of the Christian. Romans 8 will emphasize our great hope regarding victory and triumph over sin in our Christian life. The trip to the doctor in Romans 7 reveals our troubling diagnosis. Romans 8 will give us a prescription for how we to get well. We must have a right diagnosis about what is wrong with us. Many Christians join a Bible study and begin attending the church. They assume that everything in their new Christian life will be an easy walk from there on out. Paul reminds us of the reality in Romans 7. That is an accurate diagnosis. We need these verses to help us see what remains that is wrong with us. The prescription for our ailment is found at the end of Romans 7 when Paul said, thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gives us the victory. There is victory in the Christian life. So then Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. One characteristic of the spiritual mature Christian's life is their willingness to delay gratification. I hope you catch that tonight. When you start maturing and walking in God's word and walking in that spirit, guess it, that's one of the characteristics of a spiritual, mature Christian life is their willingness to delay gratification, thus putting off the impulses of self, of the flesh. This is the totally opposite of I want what I want now of the undisciplined believer. Many of us move and do things at times without thought or consideration of the ramifications. Some of us are more out of control than others, needing to be more careful in what and how they do things. This applies to our interactions with others or performing tasks such as how we drive our car or use a tool or simply making a proper choice and decision. We as genuine believers need to see ourselves as becoming deliberate, thoughtful, and unhurried in all our doings. Having the mind of Christ is being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and is attained through faith at the moment of salvation. Romans 5:1-2, and we're in on this and pick it up next week. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Through the Holy Spirit, God has made us partakers of the divine nature so that we can have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of himself. My brothers and sisters, we're going to pick up next week. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened in your holy scriptures. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.